This is Taste of Country Nights with Evan Paul on demand. In this episode, we got a twofer for you. Two interviews. We have the American Idol winner, Iam Tonga. And then we also have Vincent Mason, a new country artist, making some noise out there. Thank you so much for checking us out.
Hey, thank you for having me, brother.
Yeah, what's going on, man? Yeah, you good?
I'm good, man.
Good?
I'm
good. So how do I say, is it Iam or Iam?
Iam.
Iam, okay. Iam.
Or Iam, whatever you feel comfortable with. I'm good, man.
Yeah, yeah.
My actual name is William.
William, okay.
Yeah, so Iam is the three last letters of William.
Okay.
So Will Iam.
What was it like on American Idol, man? Take me back.
That was crazy, man.
Take me back to like the day before American Idol. Because that's like the last time you were a normal citizen,
yeah,
per
sure.
se. So take me to that day.
That day, I remember, because you audition online, whatever, and that is kind of just like its own thing. You audition online and you have to go through these rounds, right? And I had auditioned before on Idol. So I never made it past the online round. So I was like, I kind of have a bad attitude. They're like, my mom signed me up. She's like, come on, this is what dad would have wanted. He wanted you to, because honestly, my dad, he told me, like, son, I think you can win. The whole thing was like, this guy's my dad. He's supposed to say that. You know what I mean? He's supposed to say that, right? And I just went. I auditioned on the online. It was just, that was kind of like, I was just singing my heart out, but at the same time, I was like, yeah, I'm not trying to get my hopes up. That's
right.
What,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and these past years, I've been trying to find out what that feeling that I was feeling. I was just like, kind of like, I always kept saying, like, oh, a bad mood. But that's what it was. I wasn't trying to get my hopes up. Right?
Okay, okay.
So I went out there, and then they finally came up. They're like, oh, we'll let you know if we're going to. I was like, okay. They said, can we hop on a Zoom? I was like, here we go. Now they're going to kick me off, whatever.
But was it a Zoom the time before? Like, did you get any? Did you
yeah,
like
we
you
went
getting,
on a Zoom oh, time, they, the time before.
So they at least get on a Zoom to kick you off.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so
that's,
you're
nice,
like,
that's nice.
That's nice. I mean, I've applied for a few radio jobs and they don't write back, bro. Okay, yeah, okay. So you thought you were about to get let down.
Yeah. I thought I was going to be let down. I went on there and they're like, and the way they were talking, they were trying to like make it seem like, oh, like, you know what, thank you for. They said, you know, you did such a good job, but you know. And I was just like, oh. I was just there, like, I was just ready to just, like, get off that the Zoom, and they're like, oh, well, you're going to be auditioning in front of Katy Perry, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what? And I was, like, freaking out, man. So we went to the audition. Everyone is better than me, dude. You know what I mean? Everybody's voice is insane, like, hitting all these runs, hitting all these, like, falsetto.
Yeah, okay.
And I never knew how to do that, so I still don't know, really. And I'm just over there, I'm like, man, this is going to be. But, I just went in there and try to be as positive as I could, try to have fun. And that's when, like, remember I told you I was like, having this bad attitude.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Not trying to get my hopes up. I was like, you know what? Why am I going to be sad about it? Let's go and have some fun. So I went out there, just have fun, man. And, I'm glad that I did that because I had a great time.
What were the judges like off camera?
Very, very nice. They were always just talking to us and giving us advice. Like, when the cameras were off, they would turn to us and Lino always came and he would talk to us and they were just like, hey, well, if you guys need any advice and whatever. And it was cool. Yeah.
Was Luke Bryan there?
Yeah. Luke Bryan, man. He was such a cool guy, man.
What did he say? What, like, about like your shtick? Like when he saw you play, he saw your thing. Like, what did he say? Like off camera and stuff.
Off camera. He was just like, come up to me. And honestly, like, that guy's accent is really thick. So, like, I'll sit there, I'll be talking to him, and he'll be like, I don't know that. I'm like, I did not understand that.
So it was hard to understand.
Some of the words, because I grew up in white, everyone talks with another accent, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was.
So Luke Bryan was just like talking to you, and you're just like, okay.
Yeah, I know some of the stuff. Like, he would say, like, oh, good job.
Okay,
and then, like, others, he keeps talking about, like, I don't understand.
Then do you keep in touch with any of the judges' posts?
Yeah, every time I go back, like, because I go back every now and then to just go and perform and just to go meet the kids, whatever. And every time I go back, they're always saying hi and like, oh, it's good to see you again. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's cool seeing them again every now and then. So
is there any part of you that wishes like like as you keep going now and you're going to start getting more commercialized and be out there.
Yes, sir.
Is do you ever think back to like, man, I kind of just wish it was me at my house just playing again, or are you all in on this?
Oh, I'm still at my house playing, you know what I mean? So like nothing really changed. I'm just out there doing it, you know, going out and just jamming on stage and just so I get what you're saying, and that's I feel like that like sometimes, but I always have my house, you know, I can always go back and just jam, and I do every day. I just sit there on the guitar, I just jam, and then obviously get to work or whatever, but when I get back home, sit on my guitar until like 1 a.m. just writing songs and jamming, you know. So yeah.
And what about here in Nashville, like what have you been able to accomplish and what are you trying to accomplish in Nashville?
Yeah. Out here in Nashville, I'm just trying to like work on music. Honestly, I'm just trying to like just work on writing, work on producing, and like work on producing it, getting it, getting my ideas fleshed out, you know. And honestly, just meeting all these new people, man, it's just great, man.
Have you gotten to meet any country artists or?
Yeah.
Which ones have you gotten to work with?
I direct supported for Luke Bryan in Florida.
Oh wow! What was that like?
That was really cool, man. It was really cool, but it was such a weird feeling. I went out there but those people just like everyone just wants to have fun. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. I go out there and I'm like, man, I'm over here. Everybody in the lineup, Luke Bryan's headlining, obviously. Everyone in the lineup is singing country, and I'm going out there singing, "Is this love? Is this love?" You know what I mean? Singing reggae, man. I'm just like, oh man, I don't know how these guys are gonna feel, but I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go have fun. So I just went and had some fun, and people were jamming out.
That's intimidating, though, as an entertainer, right? Like be going out there thinking, why am I here?
Exactly. Yeah. Because like, oh, these guys are country. I'm not singing country. I'm going out there and just.
But did that kind of open you up to the country culture as far as like, wow, everyone's kind of accepting and they want to see me do my thing?
It's very, people are very accepting, you know what I mean? And honestly, a lot of these guys just want to have fun, man.
Yeah.
They're just out there they're all jumping, man. I was like, oh, shoot, man, they're having fun too, all right? I was like, oh, they're just here to hear country music. Nah, they're just here to have fun. That's what it is.
Okay. Yeah. What is the country culture like in Hawaii? Is there a country music culture?
Oh, yeah, it's huge. I grew up on country music. My dad listened to a lot of George Strait. One of my dad's favorite singers is Keith Urban.
Wow.
Like, we used to listen to a lot of Keith Urban around the house, like almost every day. We were sitting there, and my dad would put on Keith Urban on his CD, right? And he would sit there with his guitar. My dad didn't know how to play guitar, but he was trying to learn from Keith Urban's guitar lesson, CD, whatever. Man, but yeah, I listened to a lot of country music growing up.
What's your favorite Keith Urban song?
Keith Urban song, Memory of You or Cop Car, man.
Wow, yeah. Cop Car.
Cop Car is great, man.
Yeah. You ain't ever done that, though. No, right? No. Is there something I should know or what? That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
What's next in the future, man? Like after this new music comes out, you know, is out and people hear it. And what's next for you? What's on your radar?
Man, just I'm working on a record right now. We're also doing after this tour. And you can check out on emthongyofficial.com on like whatever, like new music. Tour dates. I'm going on. We're working on a West Coast tour, and it's gonna be announced soon. And like I said, emthongyofficial.com, and I'm excited for it. The West Coast tour, that's gonna be great. Right now, we're doing East Coast, starting tomorrow, all the way to the end of November, and then we're figuring out the West Coast tour, and that's gonna be great, man.
What's your backstage setup look like? Like, what do you need backstage?
Oh, backstage?
Yeah, like, do you have, like, a rider, a tour rider?
Yeah,
what do you got on that thing?
I have this Manuka honey. You know Manuka? It's a honey from New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
And with the property of the honey, it's good for your voice, right?
Oh.
And just honey in general is good for your voice.
Okay, okay.
But Manuka honey is not only good for your voice, it's good for you.
Okay.
So Manuka honey and Lay's chips, Lay's potato chips.
Yeah, man.
That's ginger lemon tea.
So you're keeping it pretty serious backstage.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes,
no shenanigans.
No shenanigans, bro. Oh, all right. Maybe just I always have cheese and fruits and crackers.
Yeah. There we go. Yes, a nice cheese spread.
Like what do you call them?
Charcuterie board.
Yeah, charcuterie board.
If someone would have told me that you would come in today and we would be talking charcuterie board, I would have laughed him out of the room. I've been we wouldn't have got to that. That's sweet, man. Well, dude, thank you so much for taking time and stopping by. And you're always welcome here in Nashville,
thank you.
Man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Oh, new song, Sugar. Out now. Yes, sir.
Yes, there sir, we go. Brother. Thank you. All right, and a special bonus on this episode, we got to sit down with Vincent Mason. Is a cool dude right here. Check out this interview. We got Vincent Mason in the house, man. What's happening?
You know, same old, I would say, probably.
Yeah. No. Come on. You got your debut album coming
That's
out.
Right. That is new. I've been working on it for so long, it feels like same old, but I guess it is going to be new for people. So.
Yeah, well, this is a big deal, especially nowadays, man. Like when you get crowned like a full album status, like you've come a long way.
I think so. Yeah, that is really cool. You know, I do love songwriting at the end of the day. And Jake Gear, who produced the album, he taught me how to produce an album along the way. And I got to work on the whole thing as well. So it's very hands on. And I just love making songs and making albums. So I think getting the green light to go ahead and make the first project is awesome.
What are the vibes and the nerves like come album release day? Because this is all personal music that you're pushing out there.
Yeah, I think what I've noticed about myself whenever something's coming up, I don't think about it until like the day of, and then I get like super nervous. So right now, I don't even know. I haven't really thought about it, and okay. Then I feel like the day's going to roll around. November 6th is going to, you know, roll around. I'm going to be like,
I want to go down, because before we interview, they give me like a sheet of things about you, and there was something that caught my attention about the album, and I want to go down it and get some stories. So
I'm a little afraid of this sheet.
You should be. It says, it finds you living in bars, looking for love and embracing the pain of romantic near misses.
That sounds right.
Let's dive into each three of these. Living in bars.
What's been going on? I think just you spend so much of your 20s, you know, at the bar. And I think I write about the bar so much, but it's more than just going out and drinking. I think that's just where everything happens. So to me, I feel like it's just kind of been the setting of my younger life. And I think so many stories start there, you know?
Yeah.
So many stories start and end there. And then I think a lot of them turn into, you know, you meet somebody, you meet your best friends there, you meet, you know, somebody you might love there. So, might love them for a second, but clearly there's near misses on there too. So
yeah. Looking for love. Are you necessarily looking for love at bars?
I think so. Well, I think it finds you there. Her love finds you there at the bar, you know, air quotes.
What about the old saying, like you can meet somebody at the grocery store or something?
I think you can. I think I probably should try that. The bars are not, the near misses are stacking up. So maybe I need a new strategy. The bookstore, maybe, you know. That would be better. Seems like you meet people that you get along with. It's easy to get along with people at the bar, I think.
But as a songwriter, you almost don't mind the near misses, right?
I don't think so. I mean, I've always loved those kind of, that's what got me into songwriting, made me want to try writing songs. And I think there's so many different ways to write a song, a near miss song, a heartbreak song. And I kind of like, I think now too, I'm writing about it and it's not necessarily like heartbroken and super sad. It's just like, you're just sitting around thinking about it. So I could write those songs all the time. So not too bad for content, you know?
Yeah, right. You've been on the road a lot with some other artists, some of the heavyweights, as I say, like Luke Bryan. Yes.
Luke Bryan, Jordan Davis.
Megan Maroney. What's some of the advice that some of these artists have given you? And, I mean, have any of them dropped a gift on you?
I did. Jordan Davis just got me a fly rod, which is awesome.
What is that?
Like a fly fishing rod.
Oh, is that expensive?
I think so, yeah. I think so. I don't know.
Do you fly fish?
I didn't really check out the one he bought. I go fishing, so we had talked about it. We talked about fly fishing a little bit, and I said I'd never really done that. But I've been fishing in ponds like my whole life. There's, you know, our neighbors had one in my backyard. I always sneak onto a golf course and bass fish, you know, nothing like super complicated. Yeah. But there's definitely an art to fly fishing that I kind of want to get into. So I think he heard that and he got me one. So
that's
we're in
sweet.
It now. I just got to find a river now, you know.
What have you picked up from touring with some of those guys?
I think I try to watch most of the set, if not just like kind of like a portion of the set on every tour that I'm on. I always like to just see how everybody works the crowd and the vibe that everybody sets. I mean, I really do feel like, I was talking about this the other day, but I think touring is just like kind of hosting a party in a way. It's like hosting a house party and everybody kind of does it different. Everybody's vibe is different. And I just like to see, like, I feel like there's a feeling in the air at every country show and there's kind of like a distinct feeling and vibe that you get from every single artist. So I just try to tap into that and find out what I like from each of them and where I can put my own thing in. And
you're about to headline your own deal. It's already sold out.
Yes, sir. Yeah. A few shows sold out. Yeah.
Well, so, okay, now that you're on your headlining deal, what's on your tour rider? What are you pushing?
We've got the rider. We've gone through many iterations of the rider. It's pretty simple right now. We've got Canada Dry. Our bass player doesn't drink. He's from Toronto. He likes two big bottles of Canada Dry. So we got those for him. A couple protein bars, bottle of tequila. And then energy. We just have energy drinks of all sorts, but we need those.
No system.
That keeps us rolling on the road for sure.
No system abusing underwear. No socks.
I have had to send. We've had to send some runners for underwear before, and that's the best underwear I have. They did a great job. Extra large Under Armour.
Like
a glove. You know
what led to that point that you had to send a runner?
I had been on the road for 20 straight days just running around and just running through everything, no washer machine. And
that's awesome.
I put my foot down that day. Yep, we were at a festival and they're like, the runners will get anything you need. And I was like, there is something I need. And that was the extra large Under Armour underwear. So,
in the fashion aspect of country music, how does that work? Like when you get signed, do you get assigned a stylist and that's like you do that?
I think it's up to you and your manager. We use a stylist now.
And then do you just get to pick out?
I was running on my own for a long time. You can see when the switch was made. If you really look closely,
okay.
I'm not very, very good at picking outfits.
How amazing.
I've learned it now. I think a couple of times with the stylist, I got a little bit of a template.
That's so cool. They do it for you, man. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
How long have you been playing some of these new songs live?
We headlined for the first time earlier this year. Kind of smaller run, I think 15 to 20 shows. So we had a couple songs from the album in. Some of those songs didn't exist yet, but we try to work them in as fast as we can. So it's been fun. There's a song called Sink or Swim on the album that we played a lot. A song called Sheila's Leaving that we've been playing a lot. So it'll be cool to see if people remember that and like are like, I've been waiting on this one.
You know they will. They definitely will.
I know some people are waiting on Sink or Swim from the headline tour, so. Kind of cool. That's my first time being able to play an unreleased song and have people actually kind of, buzz about it a little bit. That was always my favorite thing about my favorite artist playing something unreleased. I would remember it and rip the YouTube video for a few months.
One of your favorite artists is Parker McCollum.
That's right.
I'm talking to him later today. Awesome. Is there a question that you want to know? Like, don't give me like, how's your new music?
Right.
Give me one give me some heat.
Yeah, him and I got to talk a good bit on the tour. I would say one question, I want to ask him how he got the name Limestone Kid. I want to know if he came up with that or if it just kind of was given to him. I never asked him that.
All right.
That's a good question.
That is a good question. McCollum. Thank you.
Yeah.
And finally, man, I dug up some, I found some stuff, some pictures of you, man. I wanted to get your first thought of these pictures as soon as I pull them up. Where are we?
Oh, that is my high school. And we got a Halloween day. I wore a uniform. I was at a Christian school establishment. And every once in a while, we got to wear whatever we wanted, but everyone dressed up.
Where's number four?
I do not like costumes. Never have. Really don't enjoy them. So throwing on a basketball jersey, I was like, I am a Duke basketball player.
You didn't look very...
That is a Quinn Cook Duke jersey. And... that's Ryan Higginbotham over there on the right, Colin Gorman in the middle. Ryan Higginbotham's big, loyal Duke fan. So we all went That is Port St. Joe. Sunburned. Sunscreen was not being used. Substituted alcohol for sunscreen, I'm sure. We caught all the fish that day and put them in a bucket and then cut them up. And I walked chest high into the ocean where there were many sharks, evidently. I walked chest high in the ocean, dangling half a fish over the water and threw it out over where the waves broke. And I think we caught that around 3 a.m.
What a boss, man.
So there you go.
All right, last one, man. Give me the shot.
That is a Tuesday in February or January, if I remember right, versus Mount Perrin, another Christian establishment.
Is this a three or a two?
That is a three, okay, and good. I remember this shot.
So he's putting his hand up.
That's right. He's getting ready to hold up the three. Yeah. That was my deal. I was good for, you know, one or two threes a game. My presence wasn't really seen in the stat sheet, but believe me, I was a glue guy, you know. I affected the game. You wouldn't know that by reading the stats.
No, but you were the man in the locker room.
I remember this shot because everybody said it was the closest that they've ever seen a shot go in and not go in.
Oh,
I remember it sat on the rim and then just fell off. Like
time stood still.
The softest way you've ever seen a ball fall off of the rim. That happened that day. So,
oh, man. Well, no, you don't have to say that. Just say you landed the game winner.
Yeah, and the ref, you know, he looks like he came... He looks like he might know where a river is, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a fly fish, yeah.
I'll ask him. Dude. See if I have his number
and
somewhere.
And the guys on the bench are pissed that you're about to hit
the
shot.
Yeah, they're mad. They're mad, yeah.
I'd say you're the winner in this one.
That's right. There's probably, you know, 50, 60 people in the stands, so electric atmosphere.
Hell yeah. Don't think that those 50 or 60 people aren't going to buy your record when
it comes out. I think they should. We saw him miss that three that Tuesday night.
Rewrite the narrative.
That was my sophomore year, too, I think. So I was checking. I didn't really get much playing time on varsity sophomore year, so every time I checked in, I was nervous, and I'm probably pretty nervous right then.
But. Might I add the hair, though, is fire. Like
the hair is short. Well, you know, Christian establishment, I wasn't allowed to wear it past my ears. Wasn't allowed to touch the collar, so I rocked a different look back then.
It doesn't look like you were playing very many minutes in that game.
Yeah, not sweating at all. I checked in. That was my one shot. Missed it. Got checked out, probably.
Awesome, bro. Well, congrats on the album. It's called There I Go, and there you go, man. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, yes, sir. Thanks for having me.